Shortly before my wife and I travelled to the USA this year, we were discussing with our daughter on Skype, Skype being that marvellous invention where you can talk to your family from 6,000 miles away and it's as if they're in the same room. We were talking about the many blessings that we have and those things that we can take for granted. And I want to develop this briefly in this sermonette today. But before I do that, let me quote, and I won't sing, you'll be pleased to know, let me quote selectively from a hymn written in 1897 entitled Count Your Blessings. And that's the title of the sermonette, Count Your Blessings. And I'm quoting selectively from this. It says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking that all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And then the refrain is, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Now sometimes we can think about blessings in respect of what we may have received. For example, we may have been left property or some money or a car when a loved one dies, or just as a gift, and we count these things as blessings. However, today in this brief message, I don't want to focus on the material things of life, but those things that we already have and that we can take for granted. It's natural to get excited about receiving something or some things, but do we get really excited about what we already have? Sometimes we can forget the blindingly obvious because we don't always see that what we have may be truly astonishing compared with other people who are less fortunate. The first of three scriptural quotations that I'll give you today in this message is found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, if you'll turn there. All three references today will be from the writings of Paul. And this brief passage he gives us the ideal scenario that we should be striving to achieve. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 16. Two words, the first verse 16. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If we count our blessings on an ongoing basis, it is highly likely that we will reflect this passage in our lives. It was a standard that paid handsome dividends for Paul, who was a giant in the New Testament. What do we have and what blessings do we enjoy? Let's just think about this. Everyone in this congregation here today, and perhaps as far as I know listening in, has reasonable eyesight. Some better than others, of course. Some, like me, need spectacles for reading and driving, but we can all see. Not that long ago, we had a prayer request for Mrs. Delia Messier. She had been told that she might lose her eyesight. Another member in the UK at the same time had also told me that in the long term, he might lose his eyesight and his diabetic condition could contribute to that problem, to that outcome. Subsequently, we heard that Mrs. Messier has had better news, which we could and should and must all rejoice about. Truly good news. Our member in the UK, I continue to pray for, and hope and expect that he will retain his eyesight for the rest of his life. But it got me to thinking about eyesight. How many times do we think about eyesight? Probably never, or very rarely, unless we have a problem, unless we hear somebody else with a problem. It's something that we were born with, we take for granted. But just think about it for a moment. How would we cope with the loss of our eyesight? No longer able to see our loved ones. No longer able to drive our car. No longer able to do our monthly accounts. No longer able to appreciate God's great creation, which we could only envisage in our own mind's eye, in our own memory bank. Television would become like a radio, and the computer, for us, pretty much obsolete. Yes, we would cope because we would have to, but what a blessing we would miss. Today I would suggest that most of us, if not all of us, take for granted and really think about this blessing that God has graciously given us, and a blessing it surely is. I've added to my prayers the fact that I asked for my family, that we will all retain our eyesight. It's so basic. We're born with it, and we live through it, and most of us have decent eyesight throughout all of our lives. But how many times do we think what a blessing it is? Someone else I know and have known since the 1970s, last year had a fall and crushed a vertebrae in his back, and he is now totally immobilized from the neck downwards. I simply find that a scenario that is something as bad as it gets. The mind works, but the rest of the body is paralyzed, and just about everything has to be done for him and anyone else in a similar situation. Again, just think how we would cope. Or would we cope? If this happened to us or anyone in our family, how would we get on? In a second, I spoke to this gentleman's wife, and she said her world was turned upside down in a second, and the whole family affected. And then, of course, there is the ongoing concern and care that is needed now, probably for the rest of his life. I pray for his complete healing. But we're all blessed with mobility. We know that some have temporary problems with mobility when they fall over and injure themselves. But most of us have pretty good mobility, even though we may be slower than we once were. And I do appreciate that some of our elderly members may have some immobility problems to one degree or another. But nothing like this gentleman has suffered. He's lying there in this hospital in the UK, and his life is pretty much gone. I mean, it just almost turns me to tears to think about it. Most of us can get around pretty well. But do we ever stop to think how someone who is in such a position must feel, knowing that unless there is a miracle in his life, he will be like that for the rest of his life? We can count mobility as one of the many blessings that we have had so far throughout our lives, and continue to be blessed in this way. Now, so far, I've only mentioned two blessings that almost everyone had at birth. Of course, there are a relative few who are born blind and have had mobility problems from birth, from a very early age, and a cause for great sadness. But most of us have had good eyesight and mobility, and we can easily take these for granted, but we mustn't do that. A third area that we can just accept without thinking about how great a gift it is that of hearing. Of course, there are those who are born deaf, but again, fortunately, a relative few. Oh, how they would love to have the blessing that we can just take for granted. I remember a church member that we knew for many years who was profoundly deaf from a young age. He died in his 90s not that long ago, and for probably 80 plus years of his life, he never heard a thing. He never heard any of the hymns that we sing. And he had to sit next to someone during services and copy the notes that they were making. If we didn't have the gift of and blessing of hearing, just think what we would miss. No dawn chorus of the birds. No wonderful music to listen to. And difficulty with the communication that we have with the world at large. Yes, sign language can be used, but how many signers are there? And nothing could make up for the loss of everything we hear on a daily basis that makes up a large chunk of our life. Do we ever thank God for our hearing? It's easy to take that for granted too. But it's certainly a blessing for those of us who are privileged to have this wonderful faculty. If you'll turn to Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12, here is another lesson from Paul about his contentment with his life in whatever situation he found himself in. And this, I believe, was quoted yesterday. Let's read it again. He was a great example of being content with his life, with his lot. Not just being happy as long as he made material gains or improved his position in life. He is the sort of person who would indeed count his blessings as we should. Says verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. This clearly shows us that Paul did not have things all his own way during his Christian life. It just didn't happen. Indeed, he suffered probably more than any of us ever have or ever will do. He never had piles of money, an easy time, or a comfortable life. I would suggest that all of us in this era of the church have had it much, much easier than Paul ever did. But he counted his blessings. He was content with his lot, and we should follow his great example. How many of us, probably in the distant past or in our early days in the church, have prayed for more of the material assets that would make our lives more comfortable? I won't ask for a show of hands because I guess we might all do that. It's quite natural. We've all been down that route. What about a bigger house or a newer car? There's nothing wrong with people having money, living in a big house and driving a top-of-the-range Mercedes. But are these our priorities? As we know, Jesus Christ said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also," as we read in Matthew 6:21. It's a question of priorities, and God has given us so many blessings throughout our lives. Things we take for granted: eyesight, hearing, mobility, which I mentioned today. But so many more blessings for most of us: a good and a sound mind in most cases, and many more physical blessings. Are we happy, or are we still striving for more? Are we content with our lot, that which God has so far blessed us with? What about the blessings of our family, parents, grandparents, siblings, children, grandchildren, and other members of our extended family? Yes, I know that we can have problems with some of them for various reasons, but most of us have members of our family who are precious to us. Just a couple of weeks ago, an England cricketer was being checked up for a viral illness. He was aged 26 and considered one of the best batsmen in the world and fit as a fiddle. But the checkup revealed that he had to immediately retire from cricket, his job, because of a serious heart condition. He had to undergo an operation to have a defibrillator fitted, having been diagnosed with, I'll try and get this right, arrhythmogenic right ventricular cardiomyopathy. That takes some saying, and I'm trying again. His world was turned upside down in a day. A blossoming international career was cruelly cut short on April the 12th, just over a couple of weeks ago. A career that could have lasted for years came to an abrupt halt. A very sad situation, but it shows how quickly things can change. Just like the person I mentioned earlier, who one minute was fine, and the next minute he'd fallen down, crushed a vertebrae, and was paralysed. All in less than a minute, probably a few seconds. So far I've mentioned physical blessings that we have, but most important of all, what about our calling? This is something that is a miracle, and we must never take this for granted or treat it in any other way other than a marvellous blessing that we must continually thank God for. We are told to make our calling and election sure, and not to neglect so great a salvation. We can't achieve those vital requirements unless we count our very many blessings that God bestows on us. It gives us a positive mindset which true Christians must have. Let us bear such things in mind, and also to pray for others less fortunate than ourselves. Let us count our blessings always and be grateful for everything that God gives to us. Let us not bemoan our lot in life, but be forever grateful for the calling that we have had to potentially become a member of the family of God if we remain faithful to him and his way for the rest of our lives, and to always count our blessings. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 8, and let us read about real contentment, again from the writings of Paul. Excuse me. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. It says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content." When we take for granted the blessings that God has given us, this can lead to an ungrateful attitude. We should always have an attitude of gratitude. Ingratitude can make us forgetful and arrogant. When we become so used to the blessings that God has bestowed on us, we may, without realizing it, not thank God as we should. Instead, we can complain about how many others are better off than we are, or how we don't have those things that we think we should have. Today in the world, there is an attitude of expectancy of our so-called rights and expectations. Society has conditioned many into believing that they have an entitlement to just about everything. But those of us in the church should be happy with the blessings that God has given us. I recently read this in the Reader's Digest. This person said, "I will count my blessings whenever I am in the doldrums, count to 10 when I am quarrelsome, and count on my friends when I need a laugh." I think that's very good. She said, "I will count my blessings whenever I am in the doldrums," and let us always count our blessings.